In these talks on the mysteries of the kingdom of God, we have looked at the mystery of God and the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God's will, the mystery of the wisdom of God, the mystery of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the resurrection of the saints, the mystery of the blindness of Israel, and the mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles. I would now like to look at two mysteries which can be dealt with at the one time. One is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. It's called the mystery of iniquity. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. And remember that this was written 2,000 years ago. The mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And within that mystery of iniquity, that mystery of lawlessness, there is another mystery mentioned in Revelation 17, and I'll read verse 5, then verse 7. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. But the angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. So, mystery Babylon and the woman on the beast. There are three levels of power. There is natural power at human level. There is supernatural power at spirit being level. And above all, there is divine power. The mystery of iniquity is largely hidden because it's in that second area mainly, supernatural power. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. The mystery of iniquity has been at work for a long, long time. Scripture gives amazing information about Satan. In Ezekiel 28 and the latter part of verse 12, it says, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. When he was created, he was perfect. And at the creation of the earth, he was there. It says, You were in Eden, the garden of God. It says in verse 15 of that same chapter, You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. And that is when iniquity started working. Iniquity, somewhere in God's creation, had a plan, an evil plan. We're told about that in Isaiah 14, verses 13 to 15. Speaking again of Satan, it says, For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan wanted to be like God, and that was his downfall. Pride got into his heart. Iniquity started there, and with an evil plan, he brought destruction on himself. That mystery of iniquity will not end until after the millennial kingdom. We read in Revelation 20 and verse 7, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Indeed, he will be cast down to Sheol." But we are somewhere in the middle of that mystery of iniquity. Satan had this plan, and as part of the plan, he wanted to involve mankind, and he was very successful in doing it. Man was made in the image of God, and Satan caused man to sin, infused into him that rebellious nature, infused into him that pride which started his own iniquity. The record of it is in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. But he has been so successful. Ephesians 2 and the first three verses read like this: "And you God made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." Satan made man fall, and mankind has been part of this mystery of iniquity. As converted people, we're aware that this war is going on. And we're told in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, "Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." The mystery of iniquity is at work. This mystery, this working of evil, will come together on a future date, and we would think it could not be far ahead, but we do not know the timing. But it will culminate in a man the closest to Satan that ever any man has been, a man who is called the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians 2, that I quoted the verse from about the mystery of iniquity, tells us much about that time. It starts off talking about the return of Jesus Christ. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come." The Lord is coming back, and he's going to gather together his people. The resurrection of the saints, as we looked at in one of the earlier talks. The Lord is coming back. He's coming back for his people. But just before he comes, the man of sin will come. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man of sin will seek to be worshipped. In general, the world will accept him. He'll seem like a superman, and in many ways he will be, because he will be empowered by Satan himself and by the supernatural. But this man of sin will come, and the Lord will destroy him when he comes. Verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 2 says, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." This unseen world that I've referred to is brought before us in many parts of the Word of God. You read a book like the book of Job, and there's the world that you can see. There's Job with all his wealth and that lovely family he had, the 7 sons and 3 daughters. But then you're introduced to the unseen world. You're told about a meeting in heaven, and God is commending Job, and Satan is saying, "Let me at him, and I'll prove to you that he doesn't love you." And God gives Satan permission to attack Job and his family. The mystery of iniquity working behind the scenes. Jesus healed people, cast out demons. And in Mark 1 it tells you that he didn't permit the demons to speak because they knew him. It's a knowledgeable world, this supernatural world. In Revelation 12 and verse 12, we're told that Satan, in a day future, will become very busy on this earth because he knows that he has but a short time. Very knowledgeable. And the Word of God teaches us a great deal about this. It's an organized world. And a dangerous world. And the ultimate aim of Satan will be to come against Jesus Christ. This is revealed in many parts of the Word of God. Started in Genesis. The curse that was put on Satan would be that there would be enmity between him and the seed of the woman, which was, of course, Jesus Christ. But in chapter 19 of the Revelation, the scene of the Lord returning is brought before us. And verse 11 says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." Verse 16 tells us that he has a robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in that same description then we are told that the man of sin, who is also called the son of perdition and the beast, he has come to attack Christ. Verse 19 of chapter 19 in the Revelation, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." This mystery of iniquity, organized, widespread, will be headed up in the last days on earth by a man empowered by Satan. part and parcel of that will be this scarlet woman and the scarlet beast. We're told that in the end times, an empire will emerge. You can read about it in Daniel 7, verses 23 to 27. In that same chapter, this same man of sin is identified. You'll see him in Daniel 7, verses 7 and 8. We're told in Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2, that the man of sin receives his power from Satan himself. He will introduce a world religion. As we've seen in 2 Thessalonians 2, he will proclaim himself to be God, and he will require people to worship him. And this blasphemous world religion is pictured in that woman on the beast. So much is revealed about the end times in the Word of God, and the mystery of iniquity is already at work. We do not want to be deceived. God is the only one who can save you from deception, and indeed save your soul from the lostness of those who follow the mystery of iniquity. May the Lord enlighten our hearts and minds.